Mr. Pushkin hated it when it happened. It didn't happen very often, perhaps once or twice a year. But when it did, he truly hated it. He must have been so deeply asleep that Clem had sneakily lifted him from the sofa and imprisoned him in his wicker travel basket. That was bad enough. What made it worse was where he'd ended up on the few previous occasions it had happened. If only he'd have awoken, then he could have fought tooth and claw to resist. As usual, Clem would have won, but it was always worth a try. Growling, he kneaded the soft oblong of carpet covering the floor of his basket, repeatedly pressing and nipping it with his talons. He was sick of the vet and that enormous thermometer. Closing his eyes, he hoped it was a bad dream. But when he reopened them a minute later, his situation hadn't improved. Eventually, he'd noticed that the road he was travelling on was very smooth, with none of the usual bumps and judders. Peering through the basket's wire door, he was shocked by the size of the window in the vehicle's side. It was as large as one of the paintings hanging on Clem's living room wall, the one of a patchwork quilt of verdant fields and hedgerows, with skeletal oaks reaching up to a leaden sky. Bizarrely, this was exactly the view he saw through the window. The countryside was whizzing past very quickly, so he kept his eyes fixed on the horizon to prevent himself from feeling queasy. But there was no danger of him being sick, because his stomach was empty. That was when he realised he'd not only missed breakfast, but also lunch. He looked up through the gaps between the interwoven willow twigs forming the arched roof of his basket. Clem had folded his arms and was leaning to one side as the vehicle gradually changed direction. Mr. Pushkin took a deep breath and meowed as though meowing was an Olympic sport and he was a contender for the gold medal. Typical, he thought, observing Clem fidgeting in his seat, the greying moustache wiggling when he half yawned, then resumed his slumber, resting his head on the window. How dare you sleep when I need you? Mr. Pushkin sat like a mother hen, tucking his paws beneath, and gazed at the scenic panorama illuminated by the cool December sun, peeking through the small gaps in the clouds. His ears pricked up when a jolly voice announced, "This train will terminate at the next station. Please have your tickets ready for inspection." Sitting up like a sphinx, he peered through the wicker and thought, "So I'm on a train." All around he observed the bitty outlines of seats and the plastic surface of the table on which his basket had been placed. As the train began to slow, the wheels clattered over the tracks and the ride became bumpy and juddery. And for some reason, he could smell mothballs. He turned, following footsteps clippity-clopping down the aisle, and saw a dark shadow standing at Clem's side. The shadow coughed and announced, "Ticket, please!" In a tuneful voice with long vowels and a pleasant lilt, the sort of voice ideally suited to reciting stories whilst sipping a wee dram, not unlike the voice of Aunt Morag, although not quite so deep. Clem awoke after the man had coughed for the third time and immediately reached into the breast pocket of his tweed jacket. "That's odd," thought the cat. "Clem usually keeps tickets in his inside pocket." When Clem bid farewell to the conductor, he shuffled in his seat, yawning and stretching, then placed his right hand onto the table and strummed, "Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been?" Mr. Pushkin observed those nimble typist's fingers with their neatly trimmed nails moving up and down, like hammers striking the wooden bars of a xylophone. And that was when he noticed how quickly Clem's scar had healed. Only yesterday a long scratch extended from the prominent central knuckle all the way to the wrist, and it had only just begun to scab over with a maroon crust fringed with red. He knew it well because he'd inflicted it himself. Clem had to learn how to brush him gently, especially in the most sensitive areas. But these were mere distractions. This was definitely not the way to the vets, so where was Clem taking him? And why could he smell mothballs? Aunt Morag had only visited for a few hours on the day after Boxing Day, and yet Mr. Pushkin still couldn't shake off her overpowering pong. For a horrible moment, he thought that perhaps it was Aunt Morag sitting beside him. He felt the train slowing as it approached a small platform, its brakes squeaking as it jerked to a halt.